That is good singing. That was a good song to sing. Well, turn with me in your Bibles tonight to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I want to talk to you tonight about a subject that there are just many questions about. That subject is heaven. Heaven. There are so many questions about heaven. And, the Bible doesn't tell us everything that or doesn't answer every question that we have, but it does tell us what we have need of. What we need to know, God's given it to us. And, He didn't tell us everything, and I think there's reasons for that. Sometimes it would be good if there was a hotline, that you could go to, question and answer, frequently asked question section there on the webpage, Heaven's webpage, that you could go to and say, here's a question I have, or, you could live chat with someone from heaven. Y'all with me? Y'all know that's not true, right? There is no webpage for heaven, right? All right. Well, we'll try to get along here tonight. Y'all stay with me. If it looks like you're in the third heaven, I might call you out or say something to you to see if I can get you back down to earth here, okay? Let's talk about heaven tonight. John chapter 14 in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled." This is Jesus talking to his disciples. "You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, and the way you know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's just have a quick word of prayer if we could. Lord, praying that you would just bless the word of God tonight. Lord, would you use it to speak to every heart, Lord, as you've spoken to my heart today. And I pray that, Lord, this message would be an encouragement and a blessing. And, Lord, you just used it in a great way. And we sure will thank you for that. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone has asked, you might ask the question, why do you want to know about heaven? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going there someday, and I want to know all I can about it. I'm going there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, he says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren," or uninformed is what he's talking about there. One of the greatest causes of sorrow is not knowing or lack of knowledge. And, I think the more we know about heaven, the more that we'll want to go there. The more we know about heaven, the more we'll understand, and the more we'll be comforted by the fact of when we know that one of our loved ones has passed on and went to heaven. And so heaven and knowing about heaven, I think, is something that all of us are interested in. Heaven is a place that just raises questions. Because one of the reasons is because the Bible doesn't tell us everything, but because that one day that we're gonna be there. And I hope that the Bible can answer some of those questions here tonight. So I'm gonna ask the question, then I'm gonna try to answer it from the Bible. Now, I'm just gonna tell you right now, I'm giving you fair warning that we're gonna be turning to many, many passages of Scripture. And I'm not gonna give you time to turn there, okay? When I get to it, I'm just gonna go ahead and read it. All right? So I'm just letting you know that right up off the bat, because we've got a long ways to go. If we're going to get to heaven tonight, it's going to take us probably all the time that I've been allotted to preach to you tonight, all right? And so the first thing I want us to ask and answer tonight is, first of all, who is going there? Who's going to heaven? Well, the Bible tells us there, and we just read this passage where Jesus said, "Listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you." But he doesn't stop there. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'm coming back to get you. Hey, isn't it great that the Lord doesn't leave it up to us to try to make our own way or get our own way to heaven? Our own transportation. I don't know that many of us would make it up there, but he's coming back. He says, I'm coming back, and I'm going to take you, and I'm going to be there with you. You're going to be with me, and we'll be there together. Verse 6 says, unto Jesus, or Thomas said, you know, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we even get there? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's many descriptions, you know, Jesus uses in the Bible about himself. One of them is Jesus said over in John chapter 10, verse 9, he says, I am the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. Now, don't hold your place there. Just turn over to the book of Revelation. We're going to be in Revelation a lot. So if you want to mark your place there in Revelation. But in Revelation chapter 4, now we just told you in John, Jesus said, I am the door. Now in Revelation chapter 4, look at what he says in verse number 1. He says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. But I thought it was interesting here as I was looking at this, and it kind of jumped out at me that here in chapter 4, most folks believe he's talking about, and this is a reference to the rapture here, but he uses this phrase. He said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open. Didn't Jesus just say in John chapter 10, verse number 9, he says, I am the door. I'm the door. And here it is that this great host of people is going to be in heaven, and they've just come through the door. But who is going to heaven? Well, only those that go through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man is coming to the Father but by me. If you're here tonight, and I know this is Wednesday night, and most people here would say, you know what, I've been going to this church for years, and I'm a member of this church, and, you know, I've been saved for all this time and different things, but, you know, there's always somebody, usually, that's visiting with us here, even on Wednesday night. And so I don't take for granted that everybody that's here is saved. By the way, can I just be honest with you? And I got and tell you that I got saved, my wife got saved as a church member of Calvary Baptist Church. And so I don't take for granted that everybody that comes to church is saved. And so can I just tell you that if you want to go to heaven, if you want to make it to heaven, you must trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The only way you're going to get to heaven is if you go through Jesus Christ. All right? So let's look at the second thing. How do we get there? How do we get there? Turn back to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And we are familiar with this passage, but let me just read it to you here. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, here it is, the gospel, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, how do we get there? Well, the Bible tells us here that we will either die or we will be resurrected. You know, the only way, and you know, people, and we look at death differently than the Lord looks at death. And when we think about death, we think about something that's terrible and something that's tragic. And by the way, I know there's not really a lot of joy in when a loved one passes away. I understand that, and I'm not making light of that in any way. But can I tell you that death is the doorway to heaven? When we die here on this earth, and it shouldn't be something that we look at with dread. It really ought to be something that we look at with anticipation. When I leave this world, when my body lays down. By the way, I'm not ready to die. It's not my intention that I want to die tonight. But can I tell you, if I did die tonight, it'd be okay because I'm going to be in heaven. And I'm not worried about that. I'm not afraid of that in any way, shape, or form. And so if I die, listen, I'm going to immediately be taken to heaven. And I'm thankful for that. But if not, and I'm hoping and praying that I'm not in that one, in that group or that category that's going to die and be resurrected. Even though that would be interesting to be a part of, okay, to think about. But anyway, that's not the point of the message tonight. Even though that'd be interesting, I would rather be in that crowd that didn't have to see death and didn't have to face death, and I could be taken up out of here. I could be raptured out of here and be changed in the air. Boy, wouldn't that be a great thing? Paul thought that he was going to be in that group. We which are alive and remain are going to be called up together. But either way, can I tell you, either way, the Lord Himself will come to get us. And we don't have to worry and we don't have to fret about it. 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 15, he tells us this. This is a great passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Here it is, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Can I tell you, for those that are facing the grave, or those that have already went to the grave, he says, O death, where is thy sting? There's no sting in death anymore. For the saved person, death is not something, like I said, not something to dread. But by the way, can I tell you, even if you die, and even if you're placed into the grave, he goes on and he says, O grave, where is thy victory? You know, the grave has no hold on us. Death has no hold on us. One day, the Lord is going to come back and He's going to say, it's time to go. And we're going to leave this place and we're going to be in heaven forever. Our faith is going to become sight. And we won't have to worry about it. We'll know exactly what heaven is going to be like. All right? If we die, are we taken to heaven immediately? Now, I was reading today, and I was amazed at some of the things that I was reading today. It's really interesting that people that have the mind to think about these things. Well, you know, the Bible tells us that the first heaven is where this atmosphere, where the birds fly. The second heaven is up where the planets and all the stars and the solar systems are. And they say that these solar systems, I mean, it just goes on for millions and millions, multiplied millions of miles. And it just goes on and on. And I don't know if scientists have even found the end of the solar system, or the planets where they're at. Where, you know, they can see a long ways, and they say that it's so many million light years away, and on and on. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't understand none of that. I understand zero. I know if you turn the light on, that if it's dark in here, you turn the light on, the light comes on, right? Y'all with me on that? I understand that. Don't have any problem with that whatsoever. But they say that light travels at so many thousand miles an hour and on and on and on, and they calculate things in light years, and they say that, you know, this planet is so many light years away. Light years away. So that means if they turn the light on there, thousands of years later, we would see the light here. Are y'all with me? Well, I'm not. I left on that one a long time ago. But it does make me think about this. If that is true, and I assume that it is true, I don't try to, question, you know, somebody that knows stuff like that or thinks they know stuff like that. That's fine with me. I'll agree with you and shake your hand and all that. But if that is true, can I tell you that heaven is on past all of that? And so heaven must be a really long ways off. And I believe it is. All right, are y'all with me on that? And so how long does it take to get to heaven? Well, can I tell you that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 gives us an answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8, the Bible says, "We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Can I tell you that even though it's millions and millions of light years away, that when we die here on this earth, immediately we're in heaven. Immediately. Boy, I tell you, I'm grateful and thankful that it doesn't take us, and it won't take us millions of light years to get to heaven. If we die, are we taken to heaven immediately? And then, you know, the great thing about that is the Bible says that we'll have a new body. In Philippians chapter number, I told you I was turning to a lot of scriptures. Didn't I tell y'all that? In Philippians chapter number 3, he tells us this. Now this is a great verse. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20, the Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to do all things unto himself." But our vile body is going to be changed into his glorious, like his glorious body. And so one day we're going to have a glorified body, a perfect glorified body. And boy, I tell you, we can sure be thankful for that. There's a question that many folks ask that says, "Will we know each other in heaven?" And that's a great question. It sure is. A lot of people want to know that. I believe without a doubt that we will. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 12. It says this. It says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." And here, this verse, we believe this verse is talking to us and telling us that, listen, as we are known here on this earth, the way we are known here, how we look. By the way, what is our glorified body going to look like? Well, I don't know everything. The Bible, like I said, the Bible doesn't tell us that, but it's going to be like this body, only better. Now, if y'all can imagine, it'd be hard for me to imagine better. But this body, better. Well, same thing be true for y'all. Your body, only better, right? So, he tells us here, it'll be perfect. It'll be without problems. It'll be without sin, the taint of sin on this body. It'll be uncorruptible or incorruptible, all right? And he goes on, he says, "We'll be known as we're known." Matthew chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. We won't take time to turn there. But here, Peter, James, and John are on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah show up. Now, can I just tell you that Peter had never seen Moses or Elijah? By the way, they didn't have photographs of Moses and Elijah. Okay? So nobody knew what they looked like. They couldn't have known. That was hundreds, if probably thousands of years before their time. And so when Peter saw Moses and Elijah, he said, "Let's build three tabernacles, Lord, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He knew who Moses and Elijah was. And so by those verses right there, it helps us to understand that surely if we're known here on this earth with our simple finite mind, then when we get to heaven and we have a perfect and a glorified mind, surely we will know each other in heaven and we'll know who people are. By the way, we'll have perfect knowledge up there. Now, we're not going to be God. We won't know everything like God does, but we'll have perfect knowledge. And so surely we'll know who we are and who Moses and Elijah for. Can you imagine being in heaven and not knowing who you were? I'm talking about you folks. Could you imagine being in heaven and I have to go up and introduce myself and you have to introduce yourself to me and say, do you remember me? We went to Calvary together. You know, how many of you ever go to the store, go to Walmart, and somebody walks up to you and starts talking to you, and when they walk away, you look at your wife and say, who was that? Do you know who that was? Did y'all do that? Did anybody do that? Well, we do that all the time. So, who was that? Who was that masked man? In heaven, praise the Lord, we won't have to do that. All right? Will we know, what about this? Will we know what happens here on this earth? Look over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And here, in verse number 7, Luke 15, verse number 7, the Bible says, and I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 10 says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, I don't believe he's talking about here that the angels are rejoicing. I believe he's talking about that we are rejoicing. And we know, we're going to know when people get saved, and people in heaven now know when people get saved, and there is rejoicing there. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse number 1. Most of us would be familiar with that passage of Scripture, but he tells us there in Hebrews 12, 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And here has the idea that, as it were, the great grandstand of heaven, and people are looking down and seeing those that are running the race there. And he gives us, I think he's talking about here that they watch us, and I think they're cheering us on, and I think they're looking and watching and seeing what we do. And there's a great cloud of witnesses that's watching over. Now, do they know everything? I don't think they know everything about us, and they see everything that's going on here on this earth. But I believe that God lets people know what's going on down here on this earth. Now, we'll know, the Bible tells us, and we won't have time to turn there, but in Revelation, when we're raptured, we're in heaven, we'll be watching and we'll be seeing things that's going down here on this earth while the tribulation period is taking place. All right? So, will we know what happens here on this earth? I believe that we will. Sixth thing, what kind of place is heaven? Well, there's several things that we could talk about. There's no way that we could talk about them all tonight, but just let me give you a few things about heaven. What kind of place is heaven? Well, first of all, it's a big place. It's a big place. When we talk about the new heaven and new earth coming down, the Bible gives us the dimensions of it, and it works out to about 1,500 miles square. 1,500 miles this way, that way, that way. 1,500 miles square. Not only that, but it's also 1,500 miles up in the air. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't even try to work that out and what that would be in square miles and all those kind of things. But can I just tell you, that is a huge, huge place. By the way, it'll have to be huge if it's going to hold all of God's people. Right? Now, I don't know, but I don't, like I said, we don't know how many people are going to be in heaven, but there is going to be a pile of people. Millions upon millions of people are going to be in heaven. And not that we have to have a place to live. You know, when you get to heaven, you don't have to have a bed to sleep in. You don't have to have a house to live in to be protected from the elements and things like that. We're not going to have that. But the Bible says, I go to prepare a place for you. The Bible talks about a mansion being built for us. Now, and like I said, we don't know everything about that. But we're going to have a place that we can call our own. Now, my Bible says that it's going to be a mansion. And I'm glad it's going to be a mansion because I've never lived in a mansion. Now, I've seen a few. I've always wanted to live in a mansion, but I never have. But one day, I'm going to have that in heaven. And it's going to be a big place. It's going to be a big place. How many of you have ever been in a big crowd of people? How many of you? I've been in a crowd that, you know, I don't know, maybe 10,000. I don't know, maybe more than that. Not real sure. I remember when I was just a teenager over at Haynes Mall, Gerald Ford, the president, came and made a visit there in Haynes Mall. Of course, the only reason I was there because I was working. I wouldn't have probably took the time, you know, to go out to see all that and go through all the rigmarole, but I was working that day at Haynes Mall, and so I was there. And I'll never forget, I was way on this end of the mall, and he was there in the middle of the mall, and they had a big platform set up and all that. And I'm telling you, I'm sure there were several hundred people there, maybe thousands, I don't know. But I remember I was so far away, and I had to look down, and I finally got in a position, you know, bending down, looking, you know, all kinds of things. And I finally saw him. He looked like he was about like that right there. And I'm pretty sure it was him. I wouldn't put money on it, but I'm pretty sure it was him. He was on the platform and all that, and he was talking. And I could see him. And I thought, you know, that was awful hard to see that man. He was just a man, and he was on a platform with all these people. Can you imagine what it would be like or how it's going to be when we get to heaven and there's millions multiplied? The Bible says there's a multitude that cannot be numbered in heaven. And yet we're going to be able to see Jesus. We're going to be able to see Him. I mean, we're going to see Him with our eye. But anyway, it is a big place. Heaven is a big place. Second thing, it's a holy place. Do you know the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27? Let's look over there real quick. That's another good verse. Chapter 21, verse 27. He tells us here that he says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of the abomination or maketh the lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." And so here, it tells us here that nothing that is going to defile will be allowed in heaven. It's a holy place. Heaven is a holy place. By the way, it's a holy place for holy people. And only those that are written in the Lamb's book of life are going to be there. Boy, I tell you, that's going to be exciting. You know, it's not only that, but it's a happy place. Heaven is a happy and a joyful place. Someone said this, that even the Baptists will be happy there. Y'all believe that? Now that is a big statement there, but then again, it is heaven, right? It is heaven. You know, there was an elderly couple, and they went to heaven, and they just, I mean, you know, husband and wife, they passed away together, and they went to heaven. Angel was there to greet them. He meets them, and he's showing them around. He says, "Let me take you to your mansion." So they took this couple, the angel took this couple to the mansion, and they're looking around, and the man, of course, you know, most men, they want to know how much it cost, and he says, "Man," he says, "how much does the mansion, how much is it going to cost us?" He said, "Listen, this is heaven. It's all free." The guy said, "Man, this is great." So then they go, and they look at the table, and there's this whole, just a huge place with all kinds of food and everything that you could imagine. And the man again says, "Hey, how much is this going to cost?" And the angel said, "Hey, this is heaven. Everything's free." Well, then the guy, he walks out the back, and he looks, and there's this beautiful, Randy, a golf course of all things. You believe that? Huge golf course. Beautiful. I mean, it's just wonderful. And the angel says, hang on. He says, this is heaven. It's all free. And the man looks at his wife and he says, you know, if it hadn't been for that diet, I could have been here 10 years ago. So it's a happy place. All right. And then, not only that, but it's a busy place. There will be ministry going on. Ministry. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you like ministry? How many of you like doing and working in the church? Well, you might want to go ahead and get in on some of that, because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to be ministering to people. There's going to be preaching. There's going to be teaching. There's going to be singing. And it's going to be some work going on. There's going to be work going on. Do you know that God gave, in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve work to do. But it didn't become labor until sin entered the world. When sin entered the world, it messed even work up. It messed it up. And it made it to be labor. And you know, when we get to heaven, there's going to be work to be done. Now, I don't know what all that means and what all it involves, but it's going to be great. Can you imagine actually getting up in the morning? I don't know if you even have to get up in the morning. I don't know if you wake up or you have to go to sleep or not. I don't think you do. But anyway, in the morning, I guess you'll go to work just like everybody, just kind of like it is now. But you'll get up and go to work and you'll actually be thankful. You'll be happy to go to work. You'll say, man, I get to go minister to people today. I get to go do something to help somebody out. Well, you know, like I said, there's work to be done. And then not only that, but it's a place of rest. Now, isn't that interesting? It's a place of work, but it's also a place of rest. You know that God promised the children of Israel that they could enter into rest. Rest. And like we said before, you know, that sin messed work up and made it labor. And so we'll have work. There'll be work there, even though, we will enter into the rest that God finally has for us. Not only that, but it's a place of reward. A place of reward. You know, there's five crowns, at least five crowns the Bible tells us about that we can earn as Christians here on this earth. Five crowns. We won't take time to mention them. Most of us are familiar with those. But there's going to be rewards in heaven. Rewards. Isn't that great? God saves us simply because He loves us. He makes us and equips us to do a work for Him. A work for Him. And He enables us to do that work. And if we will allow Him, He works through us. So really, it's not even us that's doing it. It's Him working through us. And then even after all that, He says, well, listen, I'm going to even reward you for it. We could almost say, you know, in reality, well, I didn't have nothing to do with that. And you would be right. But the Lord says, you allowed me to use you, and I'm going to reward you for that. And so He's going to reward us. And by the way, it's not going to be rewards that we're going to show off, rewards that we're going to, because you know what would happen if we had rewards, you know, in our way we are, we would want to show them off, right? We'd want to put them on the mantle. We'd want to buy a display case, put them out in the window and stuff, come in and see all the rewards, you know, and that kind of thing. And so these rewards are given to us so that we might give them to the one who truly deserves them. We'll be able to give those back to the Lord. You see, really, we won't be able to take anything with us to heaven, so we'll get those rewards and turn them back over to Him. I tell you, that's going to be a great thing. But, you know, just not trying to make a negative here. We're trying to be all positive, but, you know, there's a negative to that too, because there's also going to be a loss of rewards. There'll be a loss of rewards if we don't build the way God wants us to build. And so there is a place, it's a place of rewards. Not only that, but it's a noisy place. Look over in chapter 19, in verse number 6. The Bible says this, And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Here, it tells us that heaven is going to be a noisy place. What's all the noise about? It's about Jesus. It's all about Him. And we're going to be praising Him. And we're going to be worshiping Him. And there's going to be a lot of praising that's going on in heaven. It's a noisy place. Not only that, but it's a singing place. Singing place. Look over in chapter 5 in verse number 9. Chapter 5 in verse number 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. Boy, I tell you, it's going to be a noisy place, but it's going to be a singing place. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you like to sing? How many of you love to sing? Well, I'm just going to tell you, there's going to be singing in heaven. I believe all of us are going to be singing in heaven. I really do. Now, I love to sing now. I do. I love it. You may not love it when I sing, but I love to sing. I love to hear singing. I don't know of anything, you know, I mean, it just excites me to hear the songs. Now, what kind of songs we're going to be singing in heaven, but they're going to be songs about Him. They're going to be about Him. And it's going to be a great thing. Well, can I just tell you, let me give you some things that's going to be in heaven. I believe when we get to heaven, I really believe that we won't know how to act. Now, we're going to have a glorified body. We'll have a glorified mind. Praise the Lord. But I just don't know that, I don't know how we're going to act. I don't know if we'll know how to act in heaven. Heaven is a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. Can you imagine, what is the most beautiful place that you've ever been to in your life? The most beautiful scenery, the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. When Debbie and I went to Montana, man, Montana was a beautiful, beautiful place. When we left the house or the place where we were staying, any time that we did that and we realized that we didn't have our camera, we would turn around and go back because we knew everywhere we went, we were taking pictures. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, we just taking pictures of anything. There's a stick, there's a weed, there's, you know, all kinds of things. And I mean, it was just something about it. It was just beautiful. Every place we went. One time we went shopping, of all things. She's in the store, and Ben and myself, we were sitting in the car, and all of a sudden we see people that are walking around, and they're looking up in the sky, and all, and we're thinking, what in this world is going on out here? And Debbie's in the store, you know, we're just out there in the car, you know, saying, huh, come on, we're ready to go anytime you get ready. And we're just waiting. And so I said, well, man, let's get out and see what's going on. So we got out, and we look, and there at the Target department store in the parking lot, there's all these people. And what are they doing? They're looking at the sunset. And it was the most beautiful sunset I've ever seen, without a doubt, in my life. I mean, it was beautiful. And it was like the sun was right there, and you could reach out and touch it. It was huge. And the colors and everything. Y'all are thinking, well, it can't be that big a deal. But it was indescribable, the beauty that was there. Can I tell you that the most beautiful thing you've ever seen here on this earth has been tainted with sin for ever since the Garden of Eden? It's been tainted by sin. Can you imagine what it would look like, what it would be, if sin hadn't have corrupted it, hadn't tainted it, hadn't messed it up? Well, folks, can I tell you, that is exactly the way heaven is going to be. It will not, the beauty will not be marred in any way, shape, or form. It's a beautiful place. There is There's all kinds of things to see there. Streets of gold. All those things. But folks, can I tell you, that is not what we're going to be looking at. That's not why we want to go to heaven.
That's right.
To see the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and all the things that we're going to see. Now, do you know that there's going to be, the Bible says that there's a crystal river that flows through the middle. Now, I'm a little bit curious about that river and what's in it. We won't talk about that, but I'm just a little curious about that, okay? Do you know the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be in heaven? I believe we're going to see it. Do you know my name is written in that book? I want to see it. I want to see my name. Have you all ever got a real big check and your name was on it and you thought, man, that is beautiful. That, man, look at that. Well, this is better than that.
That's right. Amen.
Your name, if you're saved, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope the Lord will let us see that. But can I tell you that that's really, like I said, that's not why we're going to heaven, or why we want to go to heaven. Look over in Revelation chapter 1. I want to read you, and then this is the last thing that we'll do. Over in Revelation chapter 1 in verse number 4. Let's go to verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and at him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and kingdom, and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha, this is the Lord, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. Look down in verse number 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Can I tell you that that is what we're going to heaven to see? Hey, like I said, we're going to get to heaven, and I think it's going to be the most beautiful thing we've ever seen in our life. But I think it's going to be like a drop in the ocean when we see Jesus Christ. I think for the first thousands of years that we're just going to be flat on our face, ashamed to look at Him. I think we're going to realize then what he should have meant to us all these years. I think we're going to realize then how we missed living for Him while we was here on this earth. How we missed being with Him and spending time with Him while we were here on this earth. I believe we're going to realize some things that, you know, we should have realized sooner. Can I tell you, folks, listen. Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. He shed His precious blood to save us. Not that we deserve it, but because He loved us.
Amen.
And can I tell you, folks, listen. He loved us so much. And He has, and He told us, I go to prepare a place for you. Listen, He's preparing that place. He is preparing for one day for us to be with Him for all eternity. I tell you what, I can't wait. I can't wait. I hope you can say the same thing. Let's ask the Lord to bless. Now, Lord, as we come before You tonight, Lord,